I'm here with Andy from Monolith Productions.
Yes, sir.
He's going to talk now about Shadow of War. We don't actually have it in the background. We have this big dragon in the background.
Yeah, we're happy to be able to take this thing around with us, actually, everywhere we go. Oh, it's kind of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet it's a big lorry that carries that.
Plus, I will say, like, if I may gush about that specifically for a second, it's kind of cool because all of this, like, this entire statue is based entirely off of our in-game assets. Like, our director of art, Phil Straub, actually worked very closely with the company that made it to make sure that it was a remarkably faithful recreation of the exact, like, size and scale and detail of the Drake we have in the game, which was a lot of fun. It was so cool seeing that come together.
So there weren't Drakes in the first game, were there?
Correct. No, this is brand new.
Okay. So, at the end of the first game, you have Talion, don't you? And he's...
Yep.
Spoiler warning, if anyone's...
Spoilers, yeah.
I think he's decided to build a new ring, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so is it the same protagonist?
Yeah, so it's still Talion and Celebrimbor kind of fused together as the Bright Lord.
Yep.
And so that just like in, we pick up the story right where we left off after Shadow of Mordor. You know, like it still takes place in between the events of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And in Shadow of War, you're basically using the power of the new ring that Celebrimbor has poured all of his power into to try and build your own army and take the fight directly to Sauron.
Okay, so actually, in that building an army, in the last game we saw you could recruit people and have people on your side.
Yep.
And you fight against, what was the name of the system?
The Nemesis system.
That's it. Which we haven't, everyone was saying it was going to get copied.
Yeah.
It won you loads of awards and then haven't seen it since, but now it's back in this game, so...
Yep.
But it's had some changes. Do you want to explain those?
Yeah, absolutely. So this time around, we've expanded on every single dimension of the Nemesis system we could. You know, last time around, it was really all about these intense rivalries. You and that one Uruk that you fought tooth and nail against that you've gone region to region. You know, he's chased you down. He's going to call you out every single time he sees you. And so that, as a starting point, we've expanded on significantly. You know, we've expanded the number of personalities, the number of different tribes, actually, that exist. They're kind of these great little subcultures that exist within Mordor for each of the different Uruks and everything. And so that'll help dictate their personality or their combat style. But then we've even taken that and expanded it one step further and expanded our follower system significantly, you know? And
okay,
so this
yeah.
time around, they're going to remember fighting side by side with you in these fortress assaults. If you let them bleed out and die on the battlefield, they might cheat death and come back and be like, I can't believe I trusted you and all this stuff. Or they'll remember the many missions they've gone on with you as you've kind of grown in power side by side.
So they can turn back again, can they? They can go back against you, these followers.
Depends on how you treat them, you know?
You've got to be nice to them. Got to be nice to the orcs.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like they'll remember. They don't. They're very pride-driven, the orcs, you know? And also to the Ologs, for that matter, as well, which we've added to the Nemesis system this time around. But then the great thing is, too, is all of that experience kind of culminates in the fortress assaults and everything at the very end of each region, I suppose, as you try and gain control over Mordor. Because depending on the overlord you might put in, if you're able to conquer one of these fortresses, or today, actually, we have a citadel, which is one of the highest level fortresses you can actually go up against. And so it's much more difficult. There's many more war chiefs kind of help buffering the overlord's efforts to make sure they can defend that fortress. And then if you're able to go in there and actually conquer it and make it your own, depending on the tribe that the orc or Olog belongs to when they actually get in charge of it, it's actually going to have these huge lasting impacts throughout the region. So if they're a member of the Feral tribe, there's going to be way more beast activity. If they're a member of the Dark tribe, there's going to be, you know, death squads hunting down the enemies of the Dark or Bright Lord. The Machine tribe is going to have a lot more industry and smokestacks popping up across the region to try and help fuel the engine of war. So we've expanded it to actually just have these huge impacts in every possible dimension
we could.
So this
all changes based on how you're playing the game and how
precisely.
Things...
Precisely. It's going to be different every single time you play through the game.
Oh, that's awesome. So how big are these fortresses? Like, what are they? Are they... Because in the last game, there weren't fortresses in the last game. Now there's these fortresses.
Yeah.
Are they like big bases you have to take over, different warlords in
them? Exactly. Yeah, essentially. Because like in last time in Shadow of Mordor, we had, I guess, outposts would be the closest equivalency in Shadow of War. And there's still little outposts all around each region, depending on which one you're in.
Yep.
You know, there's going to be some in Saragossa that are going to be out by these huge, frozen caves or everything. Or in Gorgoroth, like we have here, it's going to be out on the, you know, lava flows and the plains and everything. But then there's also the fortress, which is kind of this one big, huge installment in every single region. And so whether the Dark Lord or Bright Lord is in control, it's going to have huge impact throughout the entire region. And they're these big, huge Helm's Deep scale battles that we basically spent a tremendous amount of effort putting into, where as you go in, you know, depending on who you bring in and what their defenses, what the enemy defenses are, it's going to play out entirely different every time you go up against it.
What about, so you get quite a lot of material if you're going into the Lord of the Rings lore.
Certainly.
Are there any going to be cameos coming in? Or?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But I will say, without spoiling anything other than what's on the main poster, is there's going to be Gollum back in the game. He's going to be coming back. Yep.
Everyone loves Gollum.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to love, certainly. And, like, Liam O'Brien is such a spectacular actor to pull off Gollum. You know, there was a lot of times in Shadow of Mordor where people were like, we can't believe you got Andy Serkis. And it's
like,
it's Liam O'Brien. He's spectacular. You know, like our cast this time around, I think, too, has had a much better opportunity to bring this world to life, to have characters like the Nazgul, and to have Sauron, who you get to actually fight against this time around, being led by Troy Baker, who this time around has actually been our performance capture director. And okay. So him being so closely tied to Shadow of Mordor, he's been able to help kind of bring all of our characters and our story together in a way that I don't think we've ever been able to before.
Is it quite tricky working with all the lore, like all the background, or do you find you have quite a lot of freedom with the...
It's interesting, because I think the starting point for us is we ourselves are hardcore Lord of the Rings fans. You know, I mean, I think it's very natural to sort of look at people's reactions to anything in the Tolkien universe or in the Legendarium whatsoever and think, man, people are being really defensive about this. But frankly, we believe they should. You know, we ourselves are very hardcore fans of the Tolkien universe, and we're very respectful of it. We have a Tolkien scholar on staff with Janet Croft, who actually checks everything we do.
That sounds like an ideal job.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to spend a couple days, certainly. On my worst day, I get to hang out talking about the Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
So look, people do that for a hobby. Someone does that for a job.
I know, no kidding. It didn't work out too bad.
No. What's the release date for the game?
We're hitting October 10th this year.
October 10th, so only 2 weeks away now, 3 weeks away.
It's coming up quick,
Very quick. What platforms is it coming out on?
It's going to be hitting on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. And frankly, the great part, too, is we've got this incredible in-house tech team that actually builds our engine from scratch. We're able to make the most out of every single platform we ship on. So PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, you're going to get the absolute best experience on every single
Better
one.
Better versions of it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great. Where can people find out more about the game?
Oh, so we've got, you know, obviously our Facebook and Twitter accounts, at Shadow of War Game.
Yep.
But shadowofwar.com is going to have all the information. We're keeping it up to date all the time.
Okay, great. Thank you, Andy.
Of course. Thank you so much.